Welcome to Decoding the Customer, a podcast about customer experience and how to realize customer-centric change in today's dynamic business world. I'm Julia Allfelt, certified customer experience professional, business advisor, and host of this program. Thanks so much for tuning in. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're a returning listener, thanks, and it's great to have you back. This episode is part of my CX mini masterclass series here on Decoding the Customer. These weekly episodes are published each Thursday and designed to be punchy, bite-sized overviews of key customer experience concepts and ideas for how you can help your organization thrive through customer centricity. Whether you're new to the field of customer experience, are preparing for the CCXP exam, or are a seasoned professional looking to brush up on a few basics, this series will help you improve your knowledge, skills, and performance to stand out as a CX professional. This is episode 33. For the month of March, my mini masterclasses have been exploring CX metrics and measurement. It's a very important topic for those of us working in the field of customer experience. Metrics and measures help customer experience professionals demonstrate progress and are a way to tie results back to value within the business. In episode 31, I explained three of the most common CX metrics: CSAT, Net Promoter Score, and Customer Effort Score. And in episode 32, I shared with you how you can incorporate leading and lagging indicators to create a robust view of customer experience performance. In this episode, I'm biting the bullet and taking on one of the industry's most divisive topics, Net Promoter Score. I'm going to shed some light on why this metric receives so much heat, explain some common pitfalls with how it's used, and share my insights on how it can be applied correctly. If you're looking to learn more about the customer experience industry's most loved and hated metric, you've come to the right place. As always, if you're out and about while listening to this episode and hear something that you'd like to remember later, don't worry about writing it down. You can find an overview of the key concepts that we've covered today in the show notes for this episode, which are on my website, julia-allfelt.com or decodingthecustomer.com. Net Promoter Score, or NPS, was developed by Fred Reichelt, who introduced it to the world in a 2003 Harvard Business Review article titled "The One Number You Need to Grow." Net Promoter Score is measured through a survey asking respondents to rate on a scale from 0 to 10, how likely is it that you would recommend X company, product, or service to a friend or colleague? The top ratings of 9 or 10 are considered promoters, the middle ratings of 7 or 8 are considered passives, and the bottom ratings of 0 to 6 are considered detractors. To calculate the final Net Promoter Score, survey results are aggregated and the percentage of detractors is subtracted from the percentage of promoters. The resulting scores can range from negative 100 at the very lowest to positive 100 at the very highest. Now, I'm not totally sure why Net Promoter Score resonated so strongly with business leaders, but it has. Perhaps it was because Net Promoter Score was introduced through a prestigious publication like the Harvard Business Review, or because it was created by someone from a reputable top consulting firm during the heyday of brand name management consulting, or if it was the alluring simplicity of understanding the customer through just one number. But for whatever reason, this score seems to have won over the hearts and minds of executives. Based on my personal experience advising to leadership teams across different sectors, I can say that this number gets leaders' attention. And if there's a customer experience metric on an executive scorecard, the odds are pretty strong that it's Net Promoter Score. For all of its faults and flaws, Net Promoter Score has helped put customer experience in the spotlight and on executives' radar. Personally, I don't think that Net Promoter Score deserves this pedestal with business decision makers, but that's just the current reality. If I had a time machine and could go back to 2003, I'd ask Fred Reichelt not to position Net Promoter Score as this holy grail of customer loyalty or experience assessment tools. Positioning it as such has been the source of its misuse and the cause of great frustration within the customer experience professional community. When I engage with members of the CX professional community about Net Promoter Score, I see leaders who feel almost shackled to a metric they cannot fully control, forced to be measured by a number that is influenced by a multitude of different factors, and frustrated to be driving change within businesses that are obsessed with a score that had been hailed as a predictor of customer behavior for things like retention, but in reality is not. Again, some days I really wish I had that time machine, but until I do, I think the best alternative that I can offer is to provide some clarity around the pitfalls of Net Promoter Score in the hopes that CX leaders can help their organizations avoid these. The first pitfall of Net Promoter Score is that it's often incorrectly applied as a metric for specific touchpoints. For example, after a service callout, a company might send a customer a text message survey asking them how likely they would be to recommend the company. The problem with this is that the customer's view of whether or not they would recommend the company is influenced by lots of different things. Sure, the most recent service interaction might be a big part of this because it's fresh in their mind, but they'll also be referencing previous experiences and maybe even things they've heard from others. For this reason, Net Promoter Score is not effective as a satisfaction measure for specific channels or touchpoints. Also, measuring it in this way excludes those customers who haven't had a service call out. At a minimum, you need to gather Net Promoter Score from a representative sample of your customer base, regardless of where they are in their journey with you. I'll dive into this in just a minute, but ideally, you actually want to gather Net Promoter Score ratings from a sample of the general population that includes customers and non-customers. The next pitfall is that Net Promoter Score is gathered incorrectly. Clients frequently ask me why their internally measured Net Promoter Score differs with those published as part of public benchmarking reports. The answer is nearly always in the survey methodology. When, where, and how you ask this Net Promoter question can influence the results. In its purest form as a broad-based market loyalty metric, Net Promoter Score should be applied to a survey of the general consumer population, regardless of whether or not they're your customer, with the exact question language as established by the creators. It should be the leading question in a survey, not tucked at the end after you've asked people all manner of specific questions that prompt ideas about your brand. And it shouldn't include color coding or other visual prompts that may catalyze bias. If measured correctly, Net Promoter Score will give you a temperature check on overall consumer loyalty towards your brand. The power of this is that it provides a window into broad-based loyalty, based both on firsthand experiences as well as word of mouth, including prospective, current, and past customers, all of the stakeholders that make up the consumer marketplace. If you're thinking to yourself, this is sounding less and less like a customer experience metric, then you might just be onto something. A friend and colleague recently said that Net Promoter Score belongs in the marketing department, not the customer experience team. I believe there's a lot of wisdom to that, which brings me to my third and final pitfall, how organizations use Net Promoter Score once they have it. So assuming you've passed all the other checkpoints and your organization has accurately gathered Net Promoter Score, then it's time to interpret and use this number. Many organizations leverage Net Promoter Score as a performance assessment of overall customer experience or as a KPI for customer-facing teams. Given that we know that someone's impression of or loyalty to a brand is influenced by so many different factors and a history of experiences, it's not a stretch to think why NPS wouldn't be the ideal measure for customer experience or the best KPI for service teams. When it is used in this way, teams can become resentful and frustrated that their efforts aren't moving the dial. Given the breadth of what goes into Net Promoter Score, the only person who might be able to have this on their personal scorecard would be the CEO, and good luck with that one. We've broken down Net Promoter Score. It has plenty of flaws to pick apart, but it's not going away. And I do think it can be helpful if applied correctly. So what does it mean to apply Net Promoter Score correctly? First, you need to be measuring it in the right way, using the unadulterated approach outlined by the creators, with a random representative sample of either customers or, ideally, the general consumer population, including both customers and non-customers. It should not skew towards a population of individuals who are at a specific point along their journey. Next, ensure that your organization is using Net Promoter Score correctly once you have it. That means leveraging it as a broad-based temperature check on loyalty to your brand. It should be reviewed in conjunction with other measures like acquisition, churn, customer satisfaction, and other things to create a more holistic view of customer experience. Do not use Net Promoter Score to evaluate frontline teams or in isolation as a performance indicator for customer experience leaders. CSAT is much better suited for the former, and customer base growth is probably a better measure for the latter. But again, even with these, avoid using just one metric or measure in isolation. So there you have it, my evaluation of Net Promoter Score. I've tried to present a balanced perspective on this divisive topic, with some suggestions for how it can be used appropriately. If you're enjoying the show, please share the program with others who might be interested, or head on over to the iTunes listing and rate the podcast. This helps others find the show. I'll be back next Thursday with an interview episode featuring Elenia Vidilli, sharing her insights on emerging consumer trends. Be sure to tune in then or subscribe to the show for updates when new podcasts go live. Are you keen to do some more intensive online training in the field of customer experience? If so, then I'd encourage you to check out CX University. They offer a broad array of e-learning options that you can access anywhere and anytime. Their offering includes practice tests for the CCXP exam, and they're a Customer Experience Professional Association accredited resource and training provider, meaning that their materials have been reviewed and vetted by the association for alignment to the 6 core competencies that are in the exam. And what's better is that all of this is available on a flexible monthly subscription plan, meaning that you don't have to fork over hundreds of dollars to get started. As of the time of publishing this episode, plans including CX courses and practice exam questions start at just $75 per month. And listeners of this podcast can use the discount code PODCAST10 to get 10% off the first month subscription and help support the show. I'll catch you next Thursday, but if you'd like to get in touch in the meantime, you can send me an email, tweet, or LinkedIn message. My handle is at Julia Ahlfeldt, and my full contact details are also listed on my website, julia-ahlfeldt.com or decodingthecustomer.com.